Hi, if you like a day, now it's me, Alan Smith, with a wee Puckley Stories with today's Press and Journal on Wednesday, February 28th. So, front page paper today is eateries fuel green shoots recovery in City Centre. So, as I say, Aberdeen City Centre is on the up, according to new figures. Though there are still challenges, the P&J's High Street tracker is showing that the situation is slowly improving. The latest census reveals that vacancy rates have fallen in three of the City's centre streets, but increased in two others. And every shopping centre has had a drop in the number of vacant units. This is the third time we've carried out a survey which covers Union Street and its surrounding streets. School Hill currently has the highest vacancy rate with 9 of the 22 units empty, while Little Belmont Street is the only one we track that has 100% occupancy at present. And for the first time, food and drink has overtaken retail as the most popular type of business on the High Street, with 112 food and drink outlets compared to 107 shopping units. So, well, it just shows you how things are changing. And, you know, how the shops not are just there, you know, hidden for the centres. It's in the middle of town, but, you know, hopefully there'll be some increase not to try and get folk back into the middle. But, you know, as long as things are going good, and it says we was into the theatre on Saturday and got into town after him, I mean, even early on at supper time, they were having was hoaching and I mean, granted, the rugby and nothing was on, but even supposing it was just dead jumping. So, yeah, hopefully things are improving a bit in the middle. And, you know, lots of folk trying to do lots of things. So, fingers crossed it gets back to some semblance of just being a good place to gang. Plenty happening and, you know, everybody feels safe and happy to get in the middle, because it's a blooming shame for it's been run down for years and years and years. Now here's a castle owner reveals vision inspired by the Hanging Gardens of Babylon, would you believe? Now, so a new attraction inspired by the Hanging Gardens of Babylon is being planned by the owner of Carbisdale Castle in Sutherland. Samantha Kane, Kent as Lady Carbisdale, aims to start work this summer on a three-year project which has been deemed as part of the landmark's restoration. She says the £18 million project to establish a major members club will create 90 jobs. Last week it was revealed Lady Carbisdale had bought a 7.5-acre plot of land surrounding the castle for Forest and Land Scotland. She says the gardens will add to the attractions of the castle, for she plans a three-storey spa complex and cinema, as well as 23 ensuite bedrooms. This will form the Duchess Club, for membership for the first 100 members is now being offered at £5,000, half the original fee. The club was named after the Duchess of Sutherland, for had Carbisdale built between 1905 and 1917. The Hanging Gardens of Babylon were one of the seven wonders of the ancient world. They had an ascending series of tiered gardens with trees, shrubs and vines. So, anybody didn't care that now? Now you dev can. According to one story, they were built in the ancient city of Babylon in present-day Iraq by the king, for his wife missed the green hills and valleys of her homeland. So maybe come from Ireland or somewhere about that. Drawings for the Carbisdale Gardens show a four-tier layout with water running through the centre for the tap to a bridge pond. Lady Carbisdale said, "My father was born in Babylon and I used to gang there when I was a kid. It is a romantic story and is really inspirational." So, well, crikey, big plans indeed for up in Sutherland. It, you know, that's it's amazing for you, if you've plenty to sell that. But well, good luck to her. It'll be something to see now if she gets it all done and the voice is winter. And it's like the Hanging Gardens of Babylon to be an attraction for folk to go up to Sutherland and then be able to watch the space rockets. Nothing is taking off of there nowadays. And that's all happening up there. Now, here's a walking fitbar sessions help ease illness. This is a walking fitbar session has been launched in aid of folk living with Parkinson's. Sport Aberdeen has partnered with Northeast Active Parkinson's Group, Parkinson's UK, Robert Gordon University, and Aberdeen Football Club Community Trust to kickstart the initiative. The first session took place at Get Active at Kincorth on Friday, February 9th. It enables folk with Parkinson's to bite fit, which can slow the process of the disease and help with pain. Andreen Craig, Health Communities Manager at Sport Aberdeen, said being regularly active is beneficial in helping manage some of the symptoms of Parkinson's, and it's great to be adding a team sport to our programme, which will offer camaraderie and peer support. As of March the 1st, the programme will relocate to the 3G pitch at Adventure Aberdeen Snow Sports for 3 weeks. Gary Lang of Northeast Active Parkinson's Group highlighted the importance of the sessions. He was diagnosed with Parkinson's in 2016. He said it's a great activity to help develop and maintain regular exercise while meeting up with folk in a similar situation. So anybody interested in taking part should contact 01224 507 01 or Active Lifestyles at sportaberdeen.co.uk. So, well, that's a very good thing, because I mean, when I first moved into Aberdeen, to fans, and I bed in a bed and breakfast place in Holborn Street, and I was working at the Fine Fair to Brigadier. And he used to get him for my supper, and I think it was like a, I think he got you a breakfast in here, and then you got your supper, and the wife, but the money, the landlady's husband, he had Parkinson's, and there's enough of fine money, but with that job, it just took such a toll on him and the family, and I think it was a enough, I think, to live with. And he was pretty well on, you know, I think he died not long after I left, but he'd enough, it was enough of a job. So yeah, this is going to be a good thing. I think they're fine getting new things on the go all the time, so certainly can slow it down a wee bit compared to what it was back in them days. But yeah, well done to us folk for organising it, and I hope it's you know, they get a good uptake of folk. I'm sure they will. Now here's a childminder. It's rated in Scotland's best. This is a Portsoy childminder. It's over the moon after being named one of the best childcare providers in Scotland. Of 270 care inspectorate reports published in the last month, only Willie Wacker's childminding in Portsoy received an overall grading of excellent. Christine Matheson runs the service herself, currently looking after 9 kids. Inspectors visited unannounced earlier this month, grading the service in 4 areas. So Willie Wacker's received 2 excellent grades and 2 very good ratings. An overall mark of excellent, a rare occurrence, with only a handful of facilities hitting those heights each year. Asked how she had turned her business into one of the best in Scotland, Christine replied, by being a little bit obsessed with my work. As many self-employed folk out there will ken, it does tickle your life a little bit. But it's all for the good of the kids, for using the service, that's what all the training courses and the changes to the way you do things are for. She added, when the inspectors left after the visit, I couldn't sleep. It's a daunting experience when you've got somebody inspecting your work and you're a lone worker. You're trying to do your job while somebody else is watching you and looking at all your paperwork. It was more a relief than anything, but yes, absolutely delighted that the inspectors could see what I was trying to do for a kid. So, well done to her. That's a tremendous achievement to be just yourself and looking after 9 kids. God almighty, it's hats off to her for sure. And a very apt name for a place up in Portsoy. You certainly need your Billingtons up here if the Portsoy Boat Festival is wanting to gang by, because the time when we was up last year, it just lashed both days. But I'm sure that when the kids will love being out in the rain, I swear, and you know, with our Billingtons and up to the Rocksters and water, great fun. Now, here is a writer's closed book on thrilling Granite Noir. So, Granite Noir has reached its 8th finale after drawing an audience of about 20,000 folk. Aberdeen's latest international crime writing festival featured a packed programme of live events, workshops and discussions. Highlights included appearances from Poirot actor Sir David Suchet, the Aberdeen premiere of Sophie Hannah's musical film The Mystery of Mr. E, a sell-out run of a specially commissioned production by local theatre company 10 Fat Doll, and conversations with Alex Nye, Charles Cumming, Sophie White and Jean Kwok, among many others. Ben Torreff, as Director of Programming and Creative Projects at Aberdeen Performing Arts, was delighted to see the demand for the festival grow over the years. He said it has grown into a hugely significant festival and a really popular fixture on both the local and cultural calendar in the literature festival circuit in the UK. We've been joined by some of the finest writing and performance talent for Scotland, the UK and beyond, and our audiences have been thrilled, entertained and inspired. So, well, certainly, certainly I was like very impressed when we get into the theatre on Saturday, as I said before, to see 12 Angry Men. It was, you know, one of my favourite films. It was a very, very good play, stage play, or the same thing. And the heaps of things they've had on, and I think, and it says they've welcomed audiences from across the globe, including France and America. This year's festival saw more than 60 participants take part, which included Marie Cassidy, Ireland's first female state pathologist, Agnes Ravatan, Jorn Lierhorst, and Solveig Pulsdottir, three of Scandinavia's leading crime writers. That's easy for them to say. And Scottish crime fiction luminaries Denise Miner, Louise Welsh, and Michael J. Malone, as well as an award-winning authors Callum McSorley, Sophie White, and D.V. Bishop. Cool, mighty. Well, it's been another roaring success, that's what they're saying, and you know, it just highlights all the good things going on in Aberdeen, and if they can attract more things like this, that's got to help raise the profile of Aberdeen for the better. So well done to them, and well done to all the folk that was in that show at the theatre, because it was really tip-top, actually, very, very good. So, well done. Now, I'll just finish up with sport as normal, and back page paper day is Devlin confident Dons can arrest form slump. So, defender Nicky Devlin accepts Aberdeen are in a difficult position, but says there's still time to turn it around. They're languishing 8th in the Premiership table. Oh, God's sake, just 4 points ahead of the relegation playoff spot. Right back, Devlin says every player on the team is underperforming during a damaging winless streak and must improve. As things stand, it's going from bad to worse, because at half-time against St. Johnstone and Pittodrie, they're losing 1-0. So, you know, that's just what I might be saying. Less speaking in the papers and more action on the pitch would be what the Aberdeen fans is looking for. So, here's hoping they can turn it around the second half and, you know, banging up a couple goals. But we're getting to the stage when I hold in my breath. But, you know, it is our team, so we have to back them. So, come on, Aberdeen. And that's me done for now. So we pick this through today's Press and Journal on Wednesday, 28th of February, 2024. And not too bad a day today. It was over at Turfans yesterday at a little market thing that's on at there at the cafe, Platform 22. And yeah, it was half decent. A tiny, tiny shoot of rain this morning, but just like for less than for about a minute or so, just a you know, like somebody switching the shower on for a second and putting off again. And, you know, it wasn't the warmest, but certainly wasn't the coldest day. It wasn't the wind and hell, so it was a good in that respect. And, yeah, fine to be back in Alhame Town for a wee while. And, yeah, a very pleasant morning. So, anyway, thank you very much for listening to this podcast. I hope you enjoyed it. If you did, if you could tell somebody about it, that would just be great. And mind and tell them they can follow us on Spotify. They'll never miss an episode. And they'll have other aliens to listen to now, which will keep him, you know, listening for days and days, weeks and weeks, months maybe, to the all episodes of the Doric Express. If we can manage that, to be dandy. In the meantime, thanks very much. Cheers now. Toodaloo.